of all the things that Jesus could have prayed, you know, what was on his heart to pray for you? What was the number one concern first off in his prayer for you as he was thinking about the future and thinking about what you needed most? What do you need most?
So what do you need most? That is the question we will be answering today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to the program. We're back in John 17, the high priestly prayer. And we're looking at the last third of this prayer where he actually prays for you and I. And it's not a wringing of the hands, gee, I sure hope you do, God, prayer. It's one of those confident prayers that he knows will be answered. And in fact, it is, as we'll see today. Won't you join us? John 17 for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. Here now is Pastor Chris Gordon.
Today we come to verses 20 through 26. I think it's helpful to read the entirety of the prayer, so I'm going to begin at 17:1 and read all the way to verse 26. This is the word of the Lord. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours mine. And I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." And now our text this morning. "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." And we'll end the reading of God's word, and that's the end of the high priestly prayer. Well, today we come to the beautiful climax to this this marvelous prayer. What a prayer to read, and what a prayer to study. If you can again capture and have the word image that's given to you, Jesus' eyes are lifted up, probably hands up. This is what is the common posture of prayer. One of the professors said to me the other day something really helpful walking out. I can't find anywhere in the scripture this posture. It's not there. It kind of challenges us a little bit to think about prayer and to think about how we pray. Jesus' eyes are lifted up. He's praying to his Father. The disciples are listening to this. The disciples are standing there observing this powerful prayer. And if you ever want to know the depth of the love of God, this is where you go. It's really a prayer that should be read frequently in our lives, and something when we're in deep struggle and we're feeling alienated, and when we feel those periods that we say are dry periods and we feel distant and disconnected from the Lord, spend time reading this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer that helps us that way. He has prayed for himself in these first five verses. And then he prayed extensively, as we studied last week, for his disciples. There's a way of this prayer that is moving to a climax now. And that's where today we come to this beautiful sort of crescendo, this beautiful end of this prayer, this climax of this prayer that ends in his prayer for you, which is really remarkable, isn't it? Do you realize the knowledge of the Lord is that magnificent and great that he knows you when he's praying and he's thinking that way? That every sheep that was given to him by his Father throughout history, he is praying for in this prayer. He has not missed one. And that's hard for us to even fathom or imagine, I know. But to know and realize he knows us by name, he's giving us each a new name. It wasn't just his disciples that he was praying for. And now today we listen to Jesus pray for us. This is really, really a moment here in about AD 30 in the month of Nisan. And in a few hours, he's going to be on the cross, impaled on the cross and suffering for our very sins. And before he's going there, he's praying for us. And so that's what we're looking at briefly this morning, is Jesus' prayer for us. What is he thinking about when he thinks about us? What concerns Jesus about us? What is on his heart? What does he ask his Father for? Those are important questions, aren't they? For this is, we get to the heart of who we are as a people, the heart of what matters to Jesus as we listen to him ask certain things of his Father regarding us. And you'll notice, if you were to summarize this and to break this down, there's three real things he asks of his Father regarding us. First, that we would know him and his Father. And second, that we would be one as the Father and the Son are one. And then third, that we would all be together. That's the climax of this prayer. Does it get any better than that? Ending with him praying that we will all be together. We'll come back to that. Let's begin with this first point, that we may know. Jesus is concerned that we may know him and his Father. And that's where he begins in verse 20 of this prayer. I do not pray for these alone. I'm not just praying for my disciples. I'm not just praying for those who are standing here, Lord. But I'm also praying for those who will believe through their word. So you notice here there's a continuance of what was started in the Gospel of John. He's thinking of you directly. He's thinking of the ministry that would come to you all the way in 2021. He is thinking of right here, right now, the Escondido URC and the ministry of the gospel. He's thinking of the word going out today to the ends of the earth. And that is an overwhelming thought to begin with today, that the omniscient Christ here, who is about to die, on his mind in this prayer, is a knowledge so complete that he stood there that day with arms stretched, eyes up, praying for you. Psalm 139. You know me. You formed me in the womb. You know everything about me. It's overwhelming to think, because this great truth of election has permeated this prayer. And there's nothing that is discouraging about the doctrine of election. We fought against it, of course. We haven't liked it. But I had somebody come up and say to me last week, a somewhat new Christian said, for the first time, I never understood something that never made sense to me in Christianity before. He said, this whole world is a mess, and if Jesus had planned to save the whole world and pray for the whole world, I've always been confused. Because it doesn't make any sense. But to say that he's saving a people out of the world, now that makes sense. Now I can understand that. Now that gives me a perspective of exactly what's happening, because that I see. And I thought that was an overwhelming point to what he took away from that last sermon last week that was really helpful. Notice that just what Jesus says, I don't pray for the world. We have to reckon with that. I'm not praying for this whole world. I'm praying specifically for those who were given to me by my Father, those who will never be plucked from my hand, not one. Again, it would be scary to think that Jesus prayed with great hopes and wishes that everyone would be brought into the kingdom and in fact didn't make it. That's not how the prayer goes. There's in fact many who will never believe. It's really remarkable, because what Jesus is saying in this prayer is, I'm not losing one of my sheep that the Father has given me. Not one. That's a whole different perspective. Now, last week, his disciples, remember in his prayer for them, that you do not take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He was praying that for them, and we sort of have to think for a minute, why was he praying that specifically for them? Why did he leave them here? And it's a moving thought, because the desire of the Son of God's heart is that we would soon go to heaven to be with him. We're coming to that at the end of this. That his desire is to have us all together with him, to enjoy the glory that he has won for us, the presence, the beauty of this. But Jesus is burdened that if he did that right now, and he had taken the disciples out right then and there, and he had taken them home, then some of those whom the Father had given to the Son would never know this eternal love, would never know the Father and the Son, would never have the gospel taken to them. And so Jesus is praying one of the most needful petitions here to his Father, to keep and preserve the continuance of the ministry of the church. You should all be asking, you know, at this point, of all the things that Jesus could have prayed, you know, what was on his heart to pray for you? What was the number one concern, first off, in his prayer for you as he was thinking about the future and thinking about what you needed most? What do you need most? Well, he says it in verse 21. I'm praying for all those who will come in through the word. Notice that. That's the beauty of verse 21. I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, I want us to ponder that for a minute. He said he's keeping the disciples behind. And of course, Satan had asked to sift the disciples as wheat, and Jesus had said, I'm praying for you that your faith would not fail. They were left in the world for a specific purpose, and in that purpose, of course, he had said, nothing the evil one could do could hurt them or harm them ultimately. So they were completely shielded and protected in the world that he left them here. And notice here what he said. He's keeping his disciples behind so that the word would continue throughout all the generations to be heard and to be preached and to be given. that there would be, as the apostles would say, pastors given. There are some to be prophets and remember, apostles, and then pastors and teachers. And these would be given to the church as gifts, that there, that continuance of the ministry would be happening, so that many who are going to believe through the word would be able to receive it. So he's praying for the ministry of the word here, isn't he? He's praying for the continuance of the ministry of the word. Remember what he celebrated last time. Father, I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You have given them to me, and they have kept your word. I've done something, Father. Remember the joy of the excitement of this prayer. I told them the words that you gave me to tell. Everything that you gave me to tell them, to reveal the Father, I have done. I have given them your word. And then it gets overwhelming in the celebration, remember? He didn't just dispense the word, but he's celebrating in this prayer that Jesus had the faith, that Jesus had the power to overcome and give them faith. He's declaring something that happened. Father, they kept your word. They kept your word because they believed in me. And remember John 6, we looked at that was a work of God, that they should believe. And anyone who keeps the word will never taste death, Jesus said. So these were prayers that we've been looking at, and petitions that are as good as done because Jesus accomplished it. Jesus fulfilled it. This is glorious for the Christian life, that whatever failures you're about to go do, I want you to think about here for a minute, just as the disciples, where I have no idea, standing there that day, what is about to happen. They have no idea how bad they are about to fall. They have no idea the failure that is coming in their own lives. And Jesus is here praying ahead of time, they've kept your word because they believed in me. And then he says, Father, I pray that not just for these, I pray that those who come will believe in me through their word. In other words, it's the same thing Jesus just said. Jesus said, this is going to continue this way. That these apostles are going to take your word to the ends of the earth. And that same word that, Father, you gave me, now I'm giving to them, that they would give to others, and that this would go on throughout time so that all of your sheep would believe. All of them would know. That's the beauty of this. Now, this is the great truth of where we are today, that there's a succession of ministry. This is one of the errors, just to see throughout church history, that there was always the error of Rome that said, well, it's a succession of popes. There's always a pope, and that the authority is handed down through the pope. Here was the Protestant understanding of this right from John 17. No. That's a big error. It's not a man. It's the ministry that's handed down, the word that's handed down throughout history. It's a succession of the word, of the ministry. And Jesus spoke that we would all be kept by this word. So that the very thing that happened to them in being kept, we are being kept. Now that's why I say today in the first point of this prayer, do you see how important the ministry is to you today of Jesus' word to you? When you believe in him through this ministry of the word, you too have kept the word. You too have passed from death to life. You too who have received the word and believed in Jesus is evidence that Jesus has answered, the Father has answered this prayer of his Son. So you need to stop and say, look at the success today. This is, I think, what we need more than ever in our day right now, is to understand the success of Christianity. We don't seem to get this. We feel like a defeated bunch. Feel like nothing marvelous is happening. And the ministry is a huge success to the ends of the earth. You're here, aren't you? And this simple, great question that we ask, if you can answer in sincerity, do you believe this word? Do you know all that God has done to make that so to you? You didn't do that on your own. I've referenced this before, but all these years there have been faithful pastors who've been given to you. There have been catechism teachers. There have been your your teachers in the home. Think of your parents who've cared about you, boys and girls. Think if you've gone to school where there's a Christian worldview. Think of how much has been given to you. All of this is given to you. That the ministry that's been handed and that you've believed is evidence of the Lord answering this prayer. I think of how much is working against this to this day. Look at how much struggle we have to do this. Look at how much difficulty today. Look at how much hardship. We can't really see behind the scenes of the spiritual darkness that is all working against this. And here we are. Stop and look at it. Here we are. You talk with some of those here in the church who go down to Mexico. They're planting churches down there. Here we are. We're still doing it. Here we are to the ends of the earth today. The word is still being preached with a method and a means that the world has by and large said is the most unproductive and foolish things you could ever do. Nobody lectures anymore in the colleges, do they? Well, preaching's not a lecture. But here we are. And if the Lord continues this, you will be dead and gone real soon. I hate to be told discouraging, but real soon you're going to be dead and gone. And what are you worried about? Well, you're worried about those little ones sitting here. And then you're going to have grandchildren. And you're worried about great-grandkids. And you think, how in the world are they going to make it in this world? How in the world are they? How did you ever make it in this world? You think you made it better than anyone else? You never made it in this world. You've been kept in this world. I pray for those. Think about this now. I pray for those who will believe. They've already been given to the Son. They can't be taken from the Son. I pray for those who will believe. I will not lose one of them. So I'm going to pray for them, Father, that you keep them through the word.
You know, every time you worry about the future for your kids and your grandkids and your future, I want you to stop and I want you to read John 17:20. 17:20 over and over. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us. You think that prayer is not heard? You're proof it's been heard. So stop the fear. Right? Jesus prayed that the word would be given. And as some of you struggle even raising children in the midst of this, and you see them make choices and things that happen and they seem to go this way and that way, we have to trust that this word is powerful to bring them back. This is the Lord's, what he's saying to us today.
A prayer of confidence, a prayer of hope, prayer of expectation. It's all found right here in John chapter 17, and very, very applicable for you and I today, isn't it? And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.